All right, well, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the Word of the Lord. And by the way, there's a reason we do that. We need to have hearts that are ready to receive. We don't want to just hear the word of a man. We want to hear the Word of the Lord. And if it is the Lord speaking to our hearts, then we want to receive it on good ground that it truly change our lives. So let's pray. Father, we do open our hearts to You this morning. Lord, we ask that You'd speak to us. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would deal with each and every heart. I ask for Your help this morning, Father, that I would share and say what You would have me to. But I pray, Father, that each one will hear what You're saying to them, that they might walk in it and live and obey it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin a series on marriage and family. Particularly this morning, we're going to talk about strong families. And one of the greatest needs in our nation is for strong families. One of the greatest needs in the church is for strong families. One of the greatest needs in every child, every teenager's life is for a strong family. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, whether you have a family, immediate family, that's with you in church this morning, or you're the only one in your family that comes to church, or maybe you're a single person, I just want to encourage you that these messages are going to be for you as well. They will help you. In fact, many of you who are single right now and many of our young people, at some point, you're going to be married and have a spouse and children possibly. And so, you know what? You need to know how to have a strong family before you're in the mix, before you're in the heat of the battle. That's a mistake we make a lot of times as Christians, is we don't find out how to handle life and deal with life scripturally until we're right in the thick of things. And we need to know, our young people, you need to grow up knowing what it takes to have a strong family before you ever get married. That's the best way. So these messages are for all of us, and I believe that all of us will benefit from having a strong family, knowing what it takes to have a strong family. You know, there are always exceptions, and I want to say that very plainly. There's exceptions. But as a rule, dysfunctional people in society come from dysfunctional families. And I know you can find the one that you say, oh, well, how did this terrible person come from such a good family? Well, I don't know, but I do know that percentage-wise, generally speaking, dysfunctional people come from dysfunctional families. And if we want people who are strong and people who really live for God, we need to have strong families. It's important. And you know, the amazing thing about our God is that He can take anybody and turn their life around. But He not only can take individuals and turn them around, but He can take whole families and turn them around. You know, that's part of our vision as a church, is we not only want to see lives changed, but we want to see whole families' lives turned around, changed for the glory of God. Acts 16 and 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. God is able to do that. He's able to turn whole families around. And I know I'm speaking primarily to born-again believers. I want you to understand, we need to have a vision of what God wants our families to be. And also, we need to realize that we haven't arrived yet. We need to be working to make our family relationships better, to make them stronger. We need, you know, you might say, well, my family's all good, we're doing good, but let's make it great to the glory of God. And let's, you know, a lot of times if you don't work on those relationships, they can deteriorate. So we need to find out, what does it take to have a strong family and to keep it strong? Family can be one of the greatest blessings, or it can be a curse. Family can be a little bit of heaven on earth, or it can be a whole lot of hell. I'm telling it straight this morning. There's nothing that can make you more miserable than having problems in your family. One young lady came home from a date, and she was all sad and upset. And her mom said, well, what's wrong? Why are you so sad after a date? She said, well, tonight he proposed to me. Mom said, well, why did that make you sad? What's wrong with that? You should be happy. The girl said, well, he also told me that he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't even believe in hell. Doesn't believe there is a hell. She said, will you go ahead and marry him, and you and I together will show him he's wrong. Some of you get that later, I know. But anyway, Anybody have mother-in-laws? I'm just kidding. I love my mother-in-law. A sixth grade teacher in California assigned her students a writing assignment, simple creative writing assignment. They simply had to finish this statement, "I wish." She was really shocked because she expected that from these sixth graders she would get back statements like, "I wished I had a new bike. I wished I had a new phone. I wished I had a new computer." She expected they would ask for material things, dogs and maybe trip to Disney World. "I wish that I could go to Disney World." But instead, of the 30 students, 20 of them finished that sentence with some statement about their family. One said, "I wish my parents didn't fight." One said, "I wish my father would come back. I wish my mother didn't have a boyfriend. I wish I could get straight A's so my father would love me. I wish I had one mom and one dad so other kids wouldn't make fun of me." I'm telling you, family is important. Children know it. We need to know it. Now, a survey taken by a University of Alabama professor, he placed an ad in 4 dozen newspapers in 25 states. And the ad simply said, "We know what causes families to fail. We know why some don't succeed. We want to know why some do succeed. What makes families strong?" And from that ad, he received a response from 3,000 people. He sent a questionnaire to those people to find out exactly what made their family strong. And from those 3,000 respondents, there were 6 keys that kept appearing over and over and over. And you know, I don't preach from Reader's Digest. I don't preach from Psychology Magazine or just from a worldly survey. But I see that these 6 keys of strong families all are scriptural principles. They all bear out in Scripture, and it is amazing how that Scripture proves itself to be right over time. A lot of times people look at the Scripture and they say, "Oh, that doesn't seem right to me." Well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. But the Scripture will always prove out to be true in the end. But all of these characteristics of strong families are key principles from Scripture. Here's the first and primary. It was like a motto that kept ringing from those that had strong families. It is commitment. If you're going to have a strong family, you got to have strong commitment to one another. You know, that's really the heart of a marriage ceremony. As a pastor, I can tell you the most important thing in a marriage ceremony is the vows. And what are those vows but a verbal commitment to a covenant, to a lasting relationship, that no matter how bad it gets, sickness, health, rich or poor, no matter what happens, I commit to you. That's what those vows are all about. And I'm telling you, if you're going to have strong family, you got to have strong commitment. It has to be something that will last through the difficult times. Family has to be priority on the list. You see, if you're really committed to family, then you got to make it a priority. It has to be something that's really important. You got to be willing to give of yourself. It has to be that kind of a commitment that you're willing to sacrifice what you want sometimes because you're so committed to your family, to your loved ones. Any healthy relationship requires work to keep it that way. And you see, you got to be committed to that family, to your loved ones, so that you will work on that relationship and keep it as a priority in your life. If other things begin to take priority over your family, I can tell you your family won't be strong for long. And it happens in most households today that other things squeeze out those family relationships on the priority list. The only thing that should supersede your family on the priority list is your relationship with God. Everything else should take a back seat to your family. A lot of people put their career, their success, their financial gain or achievements ahead of family. A lot of people even put their leisure time, their me time. I want to tell you, this is a lie from society. They say, oh, well, if you're going to be good to others and love others, you got to have your me time. Show me that in Scripture. You need to put others before yourself. You have to put others as priority above your golfing time, above your internet time. Preacher's meddling this morning. I'm telling you the truth this morning. This is where we live. If you're going to have a strong family, you got to put your commitment on your family as first and keep that as priority in your life. I'll tell you how sad it is when sometimes people put ministry ahead of family. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. God is always first. But even for a full-time minister, to put ministry ahead of family is going to bring destruction. And how sad it is that even ministries that are nationally known and have had great success lose their children. It doesn't have to be that way, but your commitment has to be first to your family. By the way, we've had some tremendous examples in this church, in Brother Nichols and Brother Strickland. These men who had, the Nichols had four, I believe the Stricklands had six kids. And all have served God all of their life. You always hear about the preacher's kids being the bad kids. Well, not around here. Amen. Not the deacon's kids either. Amen. We're believing for them all to serve God, live for God. But the point is it doesn't have to be where when you're in ministry that your family suffers. That's not right. Family comes first. You got to keep those priorities right. If you're going to have a strong family, you got to be really committed to it. I'll tell you, money and material things aren't really all that great when you have nobody to share it with. It's been proven over and over again by the rich and famous. You can have lots and lots of money, but when you lose your loved ones, it's not worth anything. There's a story about two paddle boats heading down the Mississippi River. And as they were both heading along side by side, the crews began to exchange words, and before long, they had a full-blown race going. One ship began to fall behind eventually because they were beginning to run out of fuel. They had enough coal to make their trip with their cargo, but they didn't have enough coal for a all-out race. And so as they realized they were falling behind because they're running out of fuel, one enterprising young man decided he would throw part of their cargo in and use it as fuel. Well, it burned so good, they continued to use their cargo until they had won the race. But they burned up their cargo. They forgot what was most important. And I'm telling you, a lot of people do the same thing in this life when it comes to their family. They want to achieve these dreams and their goals, and they want to accomplish this and accomplish that. But along the way, they burned their family. Along the way, they forgot what was most important. They get to the end of life, and they lost their family. I'm telling you, you got to make family a priority and keep your commitment first to your family, no matter what. Second, strong families spend time together. Here's another lie of the society in our generation is that, hey, the only thing that's important is that you have that quality time. If you got 20, 30 minutes of quality time, that makes up for all the rest of the time when you neglect your family. That's a lie. You need to have quantity time with your family. You need to be with your spouse. You need to be with your teenagers and with your children. The reason that Hollywood is having such an impact on our children and teenagers is because we're not with our children and teenagers. Don't let somebody else raise your child. Don't let Hollywood, don't let the music of the day raise your child. Spend time with your child. Here's the key to having a strong family. You have to spend time together. 1,500 children. See, we get it out of the mouths of babes. We need. Why can't we understand this? 1,500 children surveyed, asked what makes a happy home. Not one of them said a bigger TV. Not one of them said more toys. Not one of them said a bigger house or new cars. The most common response of 1,500 children to what makes a happy home, they said, doing things together. We say, we think children are materialistic. They just want stuff. Not really. They really want to have a family that does things together. And I can tell you this, now I'm not against things, all right? It's better with than without, right? I believe in the blessing of the Lord. I believe He provides abundance, not just enough, but an abundance for us. Amen. That He'll bless our lives materially. But I want you to understand this. There are lots of families that just have enough to get by and maybe a little extra, and they're happy. They do things together. And there are also families that have plenty of money but don't spend time together, and they're not happy. I'm telling you, here's the key. Spend time together. You got to make it, again, you make it priority. See, if you really committed to your family and you make it priority, then you're going to spend time together. I learned a long time ago as a youth pastor that the way young people spell love is T-I-M-E. And I believe that as a youth pastor. I spent a lot of time with young people when I was a youth pastor. And it was a big part of the key of our success with young people is we spent time with them. We didn't just see them once or twice a week. Some of them we saw 5-6 times a week. And I want to tell you, it's even more important as a parent. You have to spend time with your child if you're going to have a good relationship with them. You have to spend time with your spouse if you're going to have a good relationship. People think, oh no, I've got to have time for myself. I work hard all week and I'm tired. I come in. I don't want to talk to my wife. I just want to sit in front of the TV. And your wife has been waiting all week to spend a little time with you. I'm telling you, you're headed for trouble. You're too busy. You want to focus on your newspaper or your thing, whatever it is. And your child is wanting some time from you. You've forgotten what's really important. It's quiet in here. My goodness. And today it's gotten even worse where everybody has an agenda. I mean, from the time they're little, even kids are so busy now. They're participating in all kinds of activities. And you know, I just want to give a word of caution to your parents. I know you want your children to be involved in all kinds of things so they have every opportunity. But when it gets to the point where you no longer have time for family, it's gone too far. Young people, teenagers, working a job, involved in extracurricular activities and youth group and everything else. And by the way, youth group should be the last thing to go, not the first thing to go. Talk about some messed up priorities. Well, my child's too busy to come to church. We got dance and gym. Well, you think dance and gym is more important than going to church? What are you teaching your child? I'm telling you, we need to get the priorities straight. And one of those is, you got to have time for family. So whatever it takes, if you have to cancel some things, if you have to quit participating in everything that comes down the line, then make some choices for family that you're going to spend time together. Now, I said that quantity is important, and it is. You know, it kind of works like this. Sometimes we tell people, oh, you should have been at this service at church. It was so great. And we think about certain people when they miss. We think, oh, that message would have been just what they needed to help them through what they're going through. And isn't it amazing how the devil keeps people out of church and gets them to miss that time when they needed it the most? But you know, the real key to always being there and getting the blessing that God had for you is that you're always there. And let me tell you the real key to having special moments with your family that last, that matter for years and years down the road. Here's the key, that you had lots of family time. And those special moments will happen. Now, we can create quality time and special moments sometimes by special celebrations, special events, vacation together, and we should. All those things are wonderful and can create wonderful memories and bond in our life with our family members. But I just want to stress to you that spending time together is important. And in this generation, you've got to be willing to make some sacrifices and say no to some things in order to do that. When I pastored in Oklahoma, there was a time when we lived on one block where there were three parsonages, three pastors, and all three of us had children about the same age. And here was the amazing thing to me, is that the three pastors on the block, all their kids made straight A's at school. So I'm like, well, it's because we're so spiritual. You know what? That's not really it. I have an aunt who has worked in education all of her life, and we were talking about this one day, and she said, Mark, what it is that they all have a stable home environment. They all have dinner at home with their families almost every night. And I said, you know what? You're right. And I realized, especially after seeing studies after that, that the research bears that out. That children that have a stable home environment, a secure home environment, and they have family time on a consistent basis. Listen, when you sit down at the dinner table, you laugh and you talk about things, you discuss problems, you impart values and wisdom to your children, it helps them in their life. You got to have that kind of time if you're going to have strong families. The third quality of strong families is appreciation. To have healthy relationships in your family, you got to appreciate one another. And I'll tell you, there's nobody that's easier to take for granted than your family. Usually we appreciate people after it's too late. Kids appreciate their parents after they're grown. They appreciate all their parents did for them after they're grown, after they have kids of their own, they realize. Be thankful and express your appreciation to your loved ones on a daily basis. Don't wait until it's too late. See, don't say it at their funeral. You say it to their face. Somebody said, home is the place you go when you're tired of being nice to people. You know, the sad thing is that's all too often too true. Deal with people out in the public, at work, at the store, driving down the highway, at school. You get home. You don't have to be nice there. But I'm telling you that in the end, it's more important that you're nice at home than anywhere else. You say, well, I got to be nice at work or I won't do well. I won't be successful. Exactly. You won't do well and you won't be successful at home if you're not nice. You got to appreciate one another. You got to value one another. People say, oh, well, that's the place where I can just let it all out. I'm telling you, it'll cost you. You need to appreciate one another. Realize, don't take them for granted. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that in the last days, people will be ungrateful. And we are living in an ungrateful generation that people do not appreciate the blessings of God and all that God has provided for us, but they also don't appreciate one another. Young people, I especially want to encourage you and caution you about this. Appreciate what your parents do for you. It is just part of the lie and the deception of this generation to make you think that your parents owe you, that it's just their job, that it's your mom's job to chauffeur you around and run you here and there until, thank God, you finally get your own driver's license and car and don't have to be embarrassed by her anymore. I'm telling you, you need to appreciate your family. Appreciate what they do for you. Without that, you can't have a strong family. You know, by the way, I just throw this in. One dad was sitting with his little daughter looking at his wedding picture, showing the daughter the wedding pictures of when he and his mommy got married. And he asked her, he said, now, do you understand what this is? And she said, is this when mom came to work for us? Yeah. Well, some of you ladies, y'all need to say amen to that. But anyway, you know what? I appreciate my wife getting the coffee ready every night before we go to bed. She fixes it and she sets the timer. And so when I get up in the morning, the coffee is ready. It makes me happy. Except for this morning, it wasn't ready. Every once in a while, she forgets. But you know what? It just makes me appreciate more all of those mornings that it was already ready. And you know what? I just want to say to you, the things that people, it's kind of like what God does for us every day. See, we appreciate the miracles, but not the blessings we experience every day. And the things that your family members do every day, you should appreciate the most. Not just when they do something special, but the things they do for you every day. You need to appreciate those things. You know, to appreciate means to raise in value. If a house appreciates, it goes up in value. And when you appreciate people, you're letting them know how valuable they are to you, how much they mean to you. And church, we need to do that every day with our family. You know, for every 10 positives about a family member, there's usually a negative. And it's amazing how we can focus on that one negative instead of the 10 positives. You got to appreciate all of the blessings, all of the good things about your family, not just focus on the negatives. They clean the garage for you, but then you go out in the garage and you can't find your tool you want. And so you get mad. They take you to a restaurant, but it's not the one that you would have wanted, and so you get mad instead of appreciate it. They're thoughtful and kind and sweet, but then they forget things, and so you don't appreciate them. Here's a sign that you're taking someone for granted. Sometimes it becomes easier to treat strangers better than those that we love the most, those who are at home. Here's the best example of that. You know, this just blows me away, but it's so true. Most husbands will talk to their wives in a way that they would never let a stranger talk to their wife. In a tone of voice and use harsh words, that if another man were to speak to their wife that way, they'd be ready to fist fight. And here's the foolishness and the stupidity of that. You expect a stranger to be nicer to your wife than you are. The Bible tells you to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You need to appreciate your wife and treat her with respect. Compliment her. Say nice things to her. Let me tell you how affairs happen with women a lot of the time. It is because a stranger is nicer than their own husband. He says nice things and he appreciates and he notices the good qualities about her when her husband doesn't. Appreciate one another. Ladies, you know, sometimes, I'm going to say this for those of you that are housewives and the husband. I know many of you, most of you, in fact, work in this time. But especially for those of you who are not working, husband comes home after working all day. And you know what? It can be hard sometimes to really appreciate the one who's going out and trying to earn that living and really understand exactly what they're doing. In fact, I think for young people, again, sometimes they just kind of think, well, that's dad's job. That's mom's job is to provide for me. Instead of really appreciating what they're doing. Church, the important thing is that we appreciate one another, that we realize how valuable those relationships are, and that we put our family first, that we make them priority. Every day, tell them that you love them. One of the things I think that causes people to not appreciate one another as much as they should is unreasonable expectations. We expect our kids to excel, and we should. We should all expect great things of our family. But at the same time, sometimes we make those expectations unreasonable. I got to tell you, not every kid can be the valedictorian. Not every kid can be the quarterback on the football team. Not every kid can be the star in the play. And there are a lot of kids that feel depressed and their self-esteem is so beat down because they feel like a failure in their parents' eyes. Those are unreasonable expectations. it gets even worse. It gets even worse sometimes for spouses. When the husband comes home and he expects his wife to work all day in the house and taking care of the kids and maybe even work outside of the home and to have dinner ready and to look like $1 million when he meets her at the door. That's unreasonable. It's unreasonable for the wife to expect that her husband will be a great success and bring home more money than she can possibly spend. And also, even though he's spending all this time at work, he's also going to have plenty of time for her. Plenty of time to be the perfect dad. I tell you, there are unreasonable expectations sometimes that keep us from having good relationships, because rather than appreciating one another, we're finding fault. We're holding others, our loved ones, up to some unreasonable, ridiculous standard. For women, sometimes it kind of goes like this. Why can't he act like that guy on the romantic comedy I watched the other night? Why can't you be more like that? Now, I know the guys are thinking, because he's gay. Anyway. I don't know where that came from. Help me, Lord. They're reading these romance books, Harlequin romance, about all how this man is so wonderful and he does this and he says this and he's so perfect. It was written by a woman and it's a fantasy. And they start thinking, why can't my husband be like that? That's an unreasonable expectation. And husbands see these models and actresses and women, and worse, even worse, when they're looking at pornography, and they begin to compare their wives and say, why can't my wife be like that? That's an unreasonable expectation. That's worse than unreasonable. That's insane. And I'm telling you, if we really look at one another and see the blessing of God that He's put in our lives, we'll appreciate one another instead of listening to these voices in our society that give us unreasonable, ridiculous expectations. No, appreciate one another. You know, it's one of the tricks of the devil is to make the grass look greener on the other side of the fence. A lot of the time what happens is, you know, when you go out in the world, the workplace or school, you see other people at their very best. That's when they look their best, you know. They fix their hair, their makeup, they get all dolled up. It's also when they act their best. And the same is true, ladies, with the men. They got their best behavior on. They're sweet. They're smooth talking. Listen, at home, you see each other at your very worst in appearance. And you see each other at your worst in behavior because, you know, at home, sometimes when you're exhausted and you're wore out, and how the devil tries to make the grass look greener on the other side of the fence. Why can't my husband be like that nice man I met? Why can't my wife keep herself up like that lady I see? You don't see them at their worst. You don't know. Appreciate your family. Number four is communication. They all have strong communication. The Dallas Morning News says the average couple that's been married for 10 or more years spends 37 minutes in conversation per week. Per week. I'm telling you, you need to have more communication than that. 37 minutes a day is not enough. You need to have quality conversation with your spouse every day, several times a day. Again, a lot of people act like, well, you know, if we talk a little bit here and there, that's good enough. No, it's not. If you want to have a strong relationship, then you need to make communication a priority. A relationship is only as strong as the communication. That's how you build a relationship, is with communication. You know, most marital breakups happen over communication, not over material things. Even if material things is the issue, it's the lack of communication that was the real problem. How can you be one together if you don't communicate? When you don't even know what the other one is doing, you got to communicate. Carmen and I frequently are together almost 24 hours a day, a lot of the time. But even when we're not, we are communicating. We talk on the phone a lot, and especially now with cell phones, we are talking all the time. I mean, if I go to the store, I say, just a minute, I got to call my wife and see what I want. You know, I just, we constantly are talking. You know, I take a picture of something and send it to her so she can look at it and tell me if that looks good, you know. But we're constantly communicating. You might think that's over the top, but I tell you, you got to have good communication to have a strong relationship. And the same is true with your children. You got to spend time with them and have real conversations with them if you're going to have a good relationship with them. Now, here's some advice from the Word of God on communication from James 1:19. And I'm just going to say there's a reason we have two ears and one mouth, all right? It says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Be swift to hear. You got to be a good listener. You got to listen. You know, there's so many jokes and stories about men who don't hear what their wives are saying. So, men, I'm going to pick on you. You got to listen. There's a reason that your wife is nagging you and has said the same thing 4,000 times. It's because you're not listening. Well, ladies, I figured y'all would help me out there. Well, that's a little better. You got to listen. If you're going to have good communication, the number one key is to be a good listener. And then be slow to speak. That doesn't mean talk slow. It means you think before you speak. It means that you don't engage the mouth until the brain is engaged. So much harm is done in relationships. Relationships, families destroyed because somebody said the wrong thing. So you got to be slow to speak. If you don't listen, oftentimes resentment builds. And I know that in the sitcoms on TV, you know, they kind of bear this out and make fun of it. Tim Taylor or Ray Barone, it doesn't matter who you're talking about. They hate it when their wives say, we need to talk. But guys, I'm telling you, communication is a key. It is vital to having a strong family. One little girl and little boy were at daycare, and the little girl said to the little boy, she said, hey, Billy, you want to play house? He says, okay, sure. What do I do? She said, well, you need to communicate your feelings to me. Communicate my feelings? What does that mean? She says, great, you'll make a perfect husband. It kind of goes like that, right? So ladies, I'm gonna help you understand your husbands a little better. Here's some common things that guys say, and I'm going to translate for you so that just to improve your communication skills with your husband. If he says, I do help around that house, that means I once put a dirty towel in the laundry basket. If he says, hey, I've got my reasons for doing things, what that really means is I haven't thought of a reason yet. If he says, I can't find it, what he really means, I can bear witness to this. When I say I can't find it, I mean, it's not here in the middle of the floor where I left it. When he says, what did I do this time? What he really means is, what did you catch me at? When he says, you look terrific, what he really means is, please don't try on another outfit. When he says, I missed you, he really means, I can't find any socks, the kids are hungry, and there's no toilet paper. When he says it's a guy thing, what he really means is there's no rational thought pattern connected with it, so you have no chance of making it logical. When he says, have you lost weight? What he really means is I just bought an $80 cordless drill, right? One more. When he says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he really means I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. That's okay, ladies. We're going to get you next time. How about this conversation between a dad and a son? A four-year-old boy is in the back seat of the car and he's eating an apple and he notices that part of it is starting to turn brown. He says, Dad, why is my apple turning brown? He says, because after you ate the skin off, then the air, the oxygen, hits the meat of the apple and it begins to oxidize it and changing the color of it. And the little boy, after a moment of silence, he says, Daddy, are you talking to me? You know what? Sometimes the way we talk to each other, we're not really communicating. We need to sit down and be able to have real conversations and understand one another if you're going to have a strong family. Fifth, strong families have coping skills. I got news for you. Your family is not the only one that has problems. All families have problems. All families have to deal with issues at times, some more than others. But let me tell you, one of the keys to having less problems is having good coping skills. When problems do arise, it's knowing how to deal with those issues. And sometimes, you know, some are better at it than others. It's just an innate quality of their personality. They know how to get along with other people. They're better at coping with problems. But all of us need to learn to have good coping skills. When problems arise in a family, what are you going to do? We talked about commitment. You see, when problems arise for some people, they bail. They just want to walk away. First and foremost, if you're going to cope, you got to have that commitment we talked about at the beginning. You got to be committed. You see, that's what will get you through those difficult times, is that you're committed to it. And you need to let one another know, hey, I'm here, I'm with you, we're going to work through this, no matter what it is. All relationships have problems, none are perfect. And you know, if you leave the door open to walk away, I'm telling you, you're always going to eventually find an opportunity to walk through that door. So you got to be committed to one another. There's no perfect families. You got to have coping skills and work through the issues. All families have problems. So how do you deal with it? And one family, they had a pretty great family, I guess. They said, oh, our family came across on the Mayflower, and many of them had been senators and Wall Street wizards. And so they wanted to put together a book that showed the history of their family and how great their family was. There was only one problem, was Uncle George, who was electrocuted in the electric chair. That was kind of a mark on their family history and ancestry. So they got an author who would put together for them this book, and he came up with a way to deal with the Uncle George issue. It read this way: Great Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. Was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a great shock. Now I want to tell you that real coping skills are not just putting a positive spin on the problems in your family to make it appear good to others. Real coping skills are being able to work through problems and issues that come up in a way that not only you survive, but many times your family comes through it even stronger than before. You know, it's interesting. The Chinese have a symbol that means crisis. The same symbol is used for the word opportunity. Anytime we as believers have a crisis in our life, God can turn that into an opportunity for a victory, an opportunity for a blessing. And you know, when you're going through a hard time, a dark day, it's hard to see that, but God is able to do that. But you got to be willing to work through those issues. One of the pitfalls for many relationships is resentment. You know, that familiarity of family breeds contempt. Sometimes when you're with somebody and you put up with their faults day after day after day, it can breed resentment in you. And I want to tell you, that resentment will undermine your coping skills. It will keep you from being able to resolve any issues, because that resentment inside you has to be let go of. You got to forgive. You know, the Bible makes it very plain and clear to us over and over. One of those is from Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You got to be willing to forgive. That's one of the most important coping skills, because all of us make mistakes. So for your family to be able to be strong, you got to have coping skills, and you got to have forgiveness. You got to be willing to let the past be the past and move on. As long as you hold on to those past hurts and unforgiveness, it's going to shackle your family, your relationships, to the negative things that have happened in the past. So there has to be forgiveness. You got to get rid of that resentment. With forgiveness, you can grow closer. And you can turn those mistakes around and use them as something that actually helps you to grow stronger together. But for a family to have a chance at having strong relationships, there has to be forgiveness. You got to avoid that resentment that turns into anger. We read James 1:19 earlier. It said that you got to be slow to anger. Verse 20 says, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. You see, sometimes we can get resentful towards our family members and their faults and their flaws and negative things that they do, or maybe things they should do that they don't. And we get resentful about that and the anger builds. Well, I got to tell you something. That anger is not going to bring about God's best. It's not going to bring about the righteous life that God has for you. That's man's anger. You know, the Bible tells us be angry and sin not. And you got to be able to control that anger. The world says, oh, just let it out. I tell you, you can destroy your family in an angry moment. But the Bible says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So you get control of that anger, deal with it through forgiveness. You let go of that, and then you can work on the real issues. Don't allow that anger to come into your relationships when you're trying to talk about problems and issues in the relationship. Another valuable coping skill is speaking the truth in love. You know, there's a lot of deception in the world we live in, and people lie and don't tell the truth. And the Bible tells us, speak the truth one to another. And it tells us, speak the truth in love. So we need to develop the ability to share our feelings and to talk honestly, but do so in a way that we're not making the situation worse, that we're not hurting somebody else. Speak the truth in love. Need to be real, be genuine. You know, and we all come to those trick questions, men. Our wives ask us things like, does this make me look fat? How does my hair look? Do you like my hair? And what are you going to say? Do you tell the truth or do you speak in love? Well, you got to remember it's all relative. So you can say things like, your hair looks great, and you just don't finish that sentence compared to this morning when you got up. How do you handle those questions? Speak the truth in love? Well, that's one of those things we're not going to know until we get to heaven. I'm just kidding. But seriously, you know what? If we really put forth some effort, we can be honest with one another and yet be loving. We can be genuine with each other without hurting one another. And I just want to encourage you, it's important. If you're going to have real communication, if you're going to have good coping skills, you got to be willing to be honest and open and yet be loving at the same time. Speak the truth in love. The sixth characteristic of strong families is that they have strong faith. This was not a Christian survey. It wasn't done by Christians. It wasn't done of Christian people. And yet, this emerged as one of the key components of strong families, is that they had a tremendous faith. You got to make God as much a part of your family and your relationships as you can. Anything that God is involved in is always blessed. And I want to tell you, I've seen people be real pushy with their family members about their faith. And I'm certainly not saying that you're going to try to ram it down somebody's throat. But what I am saying is that you need to realize how important God is to having a strong family. There's a real key, is that you have that faith and see God move and work in your family. You know, you may be somebody that's coming to church and the rest of your family may not even be born again, not even interested in God. But I'm telling you that you alone, you praying, you can see God begin to work and move in their life. Prayer is how we bring God's power into our world. That's how you bring God's power into your family. And so I encourage you, don't be disillusioned or lose hope, but use your faith and see God move and work in your family. And I want to encourage you, those of you whose families come to church, all of you need to pull together and say, you know what? Faith is such an important part of our family life. You know, we talked about how important it was to have that family time. And now we're talking about how important it is to have a strong spiritual life as a family. One of the ways you accomplish both of those is by keeping the Lord's Day, that you set aside a time that your family worships together. There's nothing more valuable for your family to do together than to worship together. And at the same time, you're giving God an opportunity to be a key part of your family, that your family revolves around Him. You know, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, it says this, "Therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You need to make up your mind. My family is going to serve the Lord. Be a strong leader in your family and make that decision. Say, it's not an option. We're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. We choose the Lord. You know, it made such a difference that Joshua was a strong leader. Now, there were some issues that had to be dealt with. He told the children of Israel, he says, you can't serve the Lord because there's still foreign gods among you. He dealt with those issues. He dealt with the problems. But verse 31 tells us the results. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Joshua was a great leader. All of Israel served the Lord all his life and even during the lives of the elders that served with him. Amazing. And I want to tell you that we see that kind of legacy today in families where somebody was a true spiritual leader, that their family served the Lord after them and their grandchildren served the Lord after them. Be that kind of leader in your home, that your family, your children, and your grandchildren are going to serve the Lord. I just want to encourage you. That's what it takes to have a strong family. You got to have a tremendous faith and really put God first in your home. There was a group of mothers that came together for a Bible study, and all of these, the young mothers, they all were asking one another, when do you think that it's important to really make a spiritual investment in your child? And all of the mothers said, well, from the day they're born. And that sounded like a good answer, but one grandmother who was there said, no, I made my first spiritual investment in my child 20 years before they were born. It was the day that I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And you know what? There's a lot of wisdom in that, because I see parents come down and dedicate their children to the Lord, and really what they're doing is they're dedicating their own life. That's what it takes to raise godly children. You can't dedicate a child to God just by saying, here, Lord, here's my child, and then go out and live like the devil. The way you raise a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord is you dedicate your own life. But, you know, oftentimes when parents just dedicate themselves, you know, this is just so epidemic in our generation where parents want their children to be in church and serve God, but they don't. And I tell you, if you really want to see your children serve God, it has to do with you turning your life over to Jesus. If you want to have a strong family, you turn your life over to Jesus. And I just want to challenge you this morning that you can't do it without God's help. You can't do it on your own. And so I encourage you, turn your life over to Him. You say, Pastor, I'm born again. I've been a Christian all my life. Turn your life over to Him. Sell out. Give your life to Him. I'm telling you, God can do a great work in your family. Give Him your life. Let Him have your life. And I'll tell you, He will work in and through you and do great things in your family. Well, stand with me and let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the Word of the Lord. I thank You, Lord, for our families. I thank You for my spiritual church family here, Lord. What a blessing. Lord, I feel so blessed, and I'm so appreciative, Lord, for these that You have brought together and joined together in this body of believers. And Father, I pray that today would be a new beginning in many families, in many lives, a day of restoration, a day of healing, a day of commitment. Father, a day of reaching forth to new things and new victories in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that the things that we've heard today, Lord, that we'll not forget them, they'll not be snatched away by the evil one, but Lord, we'll apply them, we'll be doers of the word, and we're going to see our families blessed in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I want our prayer partners to come. And this morning, as we dismiss this service, I want to encourage you to don't be in a hurry. If you need prayer, you let God have His way this morning. Let Him do a work in you. If you come to the service with any kind of need or burden on your heart, we're here to pray with you. But I especially encourage you to come for prayer if God is dealing with you about your family. There may be some families, some spouses, or even whole families that need to get together and come for prayer. Just have a time of renewal, restoration, and just present your family before the Lord and say, like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Some of you need to do that. But I encourage you, some of you need to make that commitment. Don't wait until you're having trouble in your home. Don't wait until you're ready to dedicate a child or until you're ready to get married or until you get a little older. No. Right now, today is the day. You need to make that decision. You're going to give your life to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I'm asking you for strong families in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. If you need prayers, we dismiss. You step out and come.